number 372 in the email, Worshipful Ohuman River, thank you for the meeting. Number 372. Sort of a free song, so sing as you will.
Sing praises to the Lord.
And give thanks to God's holy name. For the Lord our God has healed us when we cried for help, and restored us in times of deepest despair. The Lord has turned our sorrow into dancing, taking our sackcloth from us, and clothed us with joy. Sing to the Lord without end.
Amen. Let's continue with singing number 377 in the Blue Hymnal.
Actually, you can hold that. We're going to do Come First. So let's stand.
In our hands we know. Thank you.
needed for this next song, number 377 in the hymnal, Healer of Our Every Ill.
Now we will have a time to collect offering. I invite the ushers forward and the musicians forward.
Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Let's pray. All that we are and all that we have are gifts from you, most generous Spirit. Unclench our hands from grasping. Free our hearts from the need of having. And channel our work into sharing your generosity among all your children. Amen. And we'll continue our Lent practice of having a time for confession during our service, and we'll say this prayer of confession together. O healing one, we cry to you for help. We choose to listen for your voice above all others. Be gracious to us, for we have made mistakes. We have made choices that have harmed our relationships with your children and your created world. Hear us, healing God, as we move next to you in silent prayer. Now let's speak the words of assurance together. When we are silent, God moves. Praise God's holy name with all your soul. Give thanks forever to our healing God. And now we'll continue worship with singing.
Let's continue a prayer with number 353 in the hymnal, Lord, listen to your children praying. And at the same time, in your Sing the Journey, pull out number 107. We'll sing these songs together. The second song is kind of new, but I really love the words, and I hope you find it to be a comfort. Two times. Mm-hmm.
Good morning. It's good to be back with you. This is the fifth Sunday, and each Sunday we've had a different animal who has come to us and told us a little bit about God's love. So can you remember the other animals who have talked to us? There was a dog. There was a cat. There was a lizard. And was anyone here last Sunday? It's kind of like a goat. Yeah, goat, llama, kind of an interesting animal who came to talk to us. Well, today we have a visitor. It is an animal that looks like this. Let's see if we can have a picture. What animal is that? It's a turtle. And so we found this talking animal on our trip this past week, and he is going to talk to us today about being healed. That's what we're talking about today, being healed and being healed from pain. Now, you guys might not have ever experienced pain, but have you ever, like, fallen down, gotten hurt? Have you ever scraped your knee? Okay, yeah, we've gotten hurt. Micah has a Band-Aid today. So that's kind of what we're talking about, having pain and then being healed. And this turtle is going to tell us a little bit about what it's like to be healed and reflect on how Jesus healed people. So let's listen to this turtle.
Thank you, boys and girls, for inviting me today to talk to you about pain. Have you ever hurt yourself where you bleed? Have you ever had the wind knocked out of you and you couldn't breathe? Can you think of a time when you were so cold that you couldn't feel your fingers? Today we are talking about healing stories. The Bible tells us that while Jesus was on earth, he healed people from their pain. In the story that we will hear from the Bible, he even raised a girl from the dead. I know that God is always with me, even when I feel pain. Sometimes it's hard to remember in the moment because it hurts, and I can only think about the pain. But then I pause and take a deep breath and imagine God's love all around me. That helps me to not think about the pain. Remember, when you get hurt or feel pain in your heart, God is there with you. Thank you for inviting me. And have a good day.
Okay, let's pray before we go back. God, thank you for being with us even through the pain. Help us to remember that you are always there. Amen.
Our scripture passage today is from Luke chapter 8, verses 40 to 56.
Now, when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. Just then, there came a man named Jairus, a leader of the synagogue. He fell at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years old, who was dying.
And as he went, the crowds pressed in on him. Excuse me. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. And though she had spent all she had on physicians, no one could cure her. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his clothes, and immediately her hemorrhage stopped. Then Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowds surround you and press in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I noticed that power had gone out from me." When the woman saw that she could not remain hidden, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him, and how she had been immediately healed. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace."
While he was still speaking, someone came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead.
You got it right, sorry.
Do not trouble the teacher any longer." When Jesus heard this, he replied, "Do not fear, only believe, and she will be saved." When he came to the house, he did not allow anyone to enter with him except Peter, John, James, and the child's father and mother. They were all weeping and wailing for her. But when he said, "Do not weep, for she is not dead but sleeping," and they laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and called out, "Get up, child. Child, get up." Her spirit returned, and she got up at once. Then he directed them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astounded. He ordered them to tell no one what had happened.
Thank you for this opportunity to preach from Luke. It's my very favorite place in the scripture. And for those of you who don't know this, the body of text in Luke and Acts is one quarter of the entire New Testament. So that's kind of an interesting thing to think about. We're going to be focusing in on the story of the woman today, and also looking at some other things in Luke to kind of give us a better understanding and framework for this story. I want to read a couple of verses of a hymn to begin. Immortal love, forever full, forever flowing free, forever shared, forever whole, a never-ebbing sea. Upon our lips we bear the name, all other names above, yet love alone knows whence it came, that all-embracing love. And warm, sweet, tender, even yet a present help is he, Jesus Christ. And faith has still its Olivet, the Mount of Olives, and love its Galilee. Galilee is where our story happens today. Now, turn back, if you brought your Bibles, turn back to Luke 4, because like any good 21st century human being, Jesus created a mission statement for his ministry, and it's here in Luke 4. Look at verse 18. I'll give you a little background here. One of the ways to help us understand stories in the scripture is a Greek method that was taught to students because they did their learning by rote. And those of you who are my age or older can remember memorizing things. And I, for one, used to use little devices to help me remember things for tests, for example. So one of the ways the Greeks taught each other to understand scripture is to use a chiasm, which is kind of like an X. And for our purposes, we're just going to use this half of the X. So the text is in here, and we're going to say the sermon, Jesus' sermon in chapter 4 is the text. Line 1 corresponds with the bottom line. Line 2 corresponds with the next to the bottom line. 3, and so on. Until you get to the most important part, which is right here at the axis, or what do we call this? The crux? I'm not sure. And that's in verse 18. God has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free. Go free and release are the same Greek verb. And that verb is best translated release. We often hear it translated forgiveness, which is also a way of letting go, of release. So release is really important in Jesus' mission statement. And Luke 8, our stories today, help us understand that in a little different way. One of the things I like to do when I'm studying scripture, especially for a sermon, is to look at the context. So the context of this story is Luke 8. And it begins with three verses that talk about who is with Jesus in this Galilean time. It says the 12 were with him. It says Mary Magdalene, Susanna, and Joanna were with him, and many more women who were providing for them out of their resources. I've never quite thought about the flock of disciples following Jesus as more women than men. But this gives that picture. So this group of people are traveling with Jesus. And we come to the parable of the sower, which we studied a couple months ago. We come to this little vignette about not hiding your light under a jar. And then we come to this little vignette about who is Jesus' family. The mother and brothers of Jesus supposedly came to the crowd and wanted to speak privately with him. And Jesus says the weirdest thing. My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Does that mean his mother and brother aren't actually his family? It kind of sounds like that. So just kind of hold that in your mind as you think, as we go through the story today. The next thing that happens is that Jesus calms the storm. That's a favorite story. And then, so they've crossed the Sea of Galilee through this terrible storm, and they arrive at the country of the Gerasenes, and there they find this naked man running around in the tombs, and he's wacko. And Jesus delivers him from all the demons. All the demons. Thousands of demons. Then they come back, and we have today's story. So, and by the way, Preston and Janice, you did a good job reading today. I appreciated your reading, so thank you. It's always good to hear the story again. So the woman is bleeding. She's unclean. How long has she been bleeding? Holler it out. 12 years. Now, the women that are here can identify with me when we say, oh, that's terrible. And she was unclean. So she was deprived of her church community, her synagogue. She was deprived of her neighbors, her social connections, her family, because she could not touch anyone. Think about the contrast between Jairus, who's a ruler of the synagogue. Now, he may not make all the rules, but I'll bet you part of his job is maintaining the rules of the synagogue. And that means no one like this woman can come in there. I can't quite imagine the sense of isolation she must have felt. But she wormed her way through the crowd and got up behind Jesus and reached out and touched just the bottom of his garment. And immediately she was healed. I don't know about you, but that gives me the goosebumps. And Jesus turns around and says, "Who touched me?" I mean, there's this huge crowd around him. And I can bet they're jostling for position. I remember Linda telling me when she went to the march in Washington, D.C., how there was space for just your body standing up, and that was it. Now, we don't know how many people were there, but it was a crowd. And so how she managed to do this is amazing. And the fact that Jesus then says, "No, someone touched me because I felt power come out of my body." Let me tell you, power is available to us today from Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. That same power. That's why I asked Jane to anoint me before we started, because I knew I wasn't going to get a chance during anointing. I want that power and I want that healing. Now look back in chapter 8. What does Jesus have power over? Well, he has power over the natural world because he calmed that terrible storm. And he has power over demons and the entire demonic world because he cast those thousands of demons out of that man. And he has power over isolation and exclusion because he healed the woman. And think about it. Jesus does not indicate in this story that in any way did he decide to heal her. She wanted it so badly, she went out and grabbed for it. That's not very Mennonite. Wow. I was reading a story or an article about this text in a magazine called The Other Side from the early 2000s. And one of the things it says about this woman is that she had a vision for who she could be tomorrow. I'm not sure how she had that hope. My tendency to be depressed, it's hard to imagine someone who had that brave and courageous of a hope. But she did. She had a vision for who she could be tomorrow. And it was not unclean. It was freedom from all those doctors and all that trouble of bleeding. Freedom. Release. The crux of Jesus' ministry. Release. So I wonder today, who could I be tomorrow if Jesus healed this? Who would you be tomorrow if Jesus healed whatever it is in you that needs healing, that's torn, that hurts? Immortal love, forever full, forever flowing free, forever shared, forever whole, a never ebbing sea. The margin of his robe we feel through sorrow and through pain. We touch the Lord whose love can heal, and we are whole again. For the harvest of the Spirit, thanks be to God. For the good we all inherit, thanks be to God. For the wonders that astound us, for the truths that still confound us. Most of all, that love has found us. Thanks be to God. We're going to be singing number 375.
Number 375.
Thank you.
that's our prayer. We hope that none leave here unhealed. Anointing is a practice. Anointing for healing is a practice in the Christian church that goes way back. In James, we read, are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any among you sick? They should call the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. It seems to me that we have faith that God is always ready to heal us and is ready to save, whether it be our bodies or our minds or our spirits or our relationships, and in whatever way God sees fit.